Hare Krishna. We will be discussing an interesting section from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from Canto 1, Chapter 16, and the verse for today is text number 31. I am thinking about myself, and also, O best amongst the demigods, about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, denizens of Pitraloka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashrama in human society. I am thinking about myself, and also, O best amongst the demigods, about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, denizens of Pitraloka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashrama in human society. Purport. To effect the perfection of human life, there is cooperation between men and demigods, sages, denizens of the Pitraloka, devotees of the Lord, and the scientific system of Varna and Ashrama orders of life. So what is there between all these people? There is cooperation. The distinction between human life and animal life, therefore, begins with the scientific system of Varna and Ashrama, guided by the experience of the sages in relation with the demigods, gradually rising to the summit of re-establishing our eternal relation with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. When God made Varnashrama Dharma, which is strictly meant for developing animal consciousness into human consciousness, and human consciousness into godly consciousness, when such a God-made system is broken by the advancement of foolishness, when the God-made system of Varnashrama Dharma is broken by the man-made system of foolishness, the whole system of peaceful and progressive life is at once disturbed. In the age of Kali, the first attack, of the venomous snake strikes against the God-made Varnashrama Dharma. And thus, a person properly qualified as a Brahmana is called as a Shudra. And a Shudra, by qualification, is passing as a Brahmana. All on a false claim of birthright. To become a Brahmana by a birthright claim is not at all bona fide. Although it may be fulfillment of one of the conditions. So to be born as a Brahmana may be a fulfillment of one of the conditions. But the real qualification of a Brahmana is to control the mind and to control the senses and to cultivate tolerance, simplicity, cleanliness, knowledge, truthfulness, devotion, faith in the Vedic wisdom. In the present age, consideration of the necessary qualification is being neglected, and the false birthright claim is being supported even by popular sophisticated poet, the author of Ramcharitamanas. This is all due to the influence of the age of Kali. Thus, Mother Earth, represented as a cow, was lamenting the regrettable condition. So, this section is titled as How Parikshit Maharaj Received the Age of Kali. And the prevailing context in Srimad Bhagavatam in these sections is all about the degradation of Kali Yuga. The gradual degradation. Gradual yet rapid degradation of Kali Yuga. Now, what is the context? In this chapter, it is mentioned that it is at that point in time when Maharaj Parikshit has taken over the reins of the kingdom and he is ruling as the emperor of the world. Now, Maharaj Parikshit is not an ordinary king, he is a Rajarishi. Since he was in the womb of his mother as a child, he already had darshan of Lord Krishna and he has already tasted the Bhakta Vatsala feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Maharaj Parikshit, and also Maharaj Parikshit had the good fortune of having ancestors, forefathers, his father, grandfather, all of them being highly self-realized personalities. So he had the good fortune. So as he is ruling the kingdom, he is reminiscing on his good fortune. And he is also thanking the Supreme Personality of Godhead by constantly hearing the manner in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead protected his forefathers. So that is a starting theme of this particular section. Now Srimad Bhagavatam is a compendium of several conversations that are happening. On one hand, Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation between Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. This is one conversation that is going on. On the other hand, the same Srimad Bhagavatam contains another set of conversation which is happening between Sutta Goswami and Saunaka Rishi. In the earlier context, Maharaj Parikshit is asking the questions and Sukadev Goswami is answering. And in this context, Saunaka Rishi is asking the questions and Sutta Goswami is answering. From a scriptural point of view, it's one and the same. Pariprashtena sevaya upadekshanti jenena. So it is a mode of humble, submissive inquiry. So Saunaka Rishi is posing a question to Sutta Goswami as to why was Maharaj Parikshit very heavy on the personification of Kali Yuga. The personification of Kali Yuga came as a human being. Okay, and Maharaj Parikshit was very heavy on that personality, the details of which you will see in the next section. But this section is essentially about a question which has been put forth by Saunaka Rishi to Sutta Goswami. And Sutta Goswami is answering that question by saying that once upon a time there was Dharma and Mother Earth. There is Dharma and then there is Bhumi, Mother Earth. So, Dharma, which was standing on one leg. Dharma has four legs. What are the four legs of Dharma? Mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. These are four pillars on which Dharma stands. So, Dharma is now standing on three legs only. Sorry, it is actually standing on one leg, which is the leg of truthfulness. So, this Dharma is meeting Bhumi Devi, right in front. And when Dharma sees Bhumi Devi, he sees that Bhumi Devi is in a very regrettable situation. Bhumi Devi is very despondent, very sad and very grave. So, out of concern, Dharma is asking Bhumi Devi, why are you in such a pitiable condition? What has gone wrong with you? And in response to that question, Bhumi Devi is quoting several verses. The third of such verses is this verse. And Bhumi Devi is, for example, Bhumi Devi starts by talking about the good times when Lord Krishna was physically present on this planet. And yesterday, Bhaktisar Prabhu very nicely explained to us how Bhumi Devi brings out the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are, I think, 24 qualities which Srila Prabhupada mentions approximately. I can't remember the exact, but around that. And then Prabhupada says, and many more qualities. And Bhumi Devi is glorifying Lord Krishna. That he has demonstrated all these qualities, but with his departure, slowly these qualities are disappearing from modern society. And as part of that, then this verse comes about. I am thinking about myself and also, O best amongst the demigods, about you, as well as about all the demigod sages, denizens of Pitruloka, devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashrama. So she is glorifying the Lord. At the same time, there is a glorification of all those people who are following Varna and Ashrama. Sometimes, when we are in bad association, at that time we really realize the value of good association. So, Mother Earth is in a regrettable condition owing to the association she is getting in modern society, and therefore she is reminiscing the good old times. So that is the mood of this particular verse. Now, Dharma has asked this question of Bhumi Devi, and Bhumi Devi is now answering that. And she begins answering by explaining the starting point of degradation of Kali Yuga. What is the genesis of the collapse of Varnashrama Dharma in today's society? So, Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport that the first point of attack is on what? On Varnashrama Dharma, the system in society, the religious system. When I was a child, I remember this was around 1971 or 72, around that time. Then I'm from Bombay, so in Bombay there is a place called as Baba Atomic Research Center, BARC. Many of you must have heard of this. Now at that time there was some war that was going on. Murali Prabhu, you remember which war it was? It was either India-China or India-Pakistan war. India-Pakistan war was going on. And I remember in those days, Pakistan was trying to bomb Bombay. Mumbai. They were trying to bomb. I remember as a child, my parents used to switch off the lights in the evening. Around 6 o'clock or so, there was a mandate that everybody has to switch off their lights. There was no option. And you can use a candle or whatever inside the house, but no spark of light must go out of the house. Why? Because wherever we used to live, that was very close to Baba Atomic Research Center, which is in Trombay. Now the reason was that Pakistan knew that if they have to finish India, they have to finish Mumbai, which is the commercial capital. Mumbai is the commercial capital and Delhi is the leaders. Of course, it's a different issue that nothing will go wrong with India if Delhi were attacked today, because we don't have very great leaders in the parliament. So maybe they will do a great service. That is a different issue. Okay. But Bombay was the commercial capital. So they wanted to bomb, finish Bombay. And the way of finishing any country is to attack the nuclear installation. If you attack the nuclear installation, the whole country is finished in one shot. So they were not interested in bombing anything. They knew if they attack Baba Atomic Research Center, the whole country will be finished. So like that, just like the enemy knows exactly where to hit to create a chaos in society, Kali knew very well that by hitting the very foundation of Varnashrama Dharma, the whole social structure will collapse. Everything can go awry. So therefore, Prabhupada is nicely bringing out that point in this purport. Now, why is Varnashrama Dharma so important? In our Bhakti Vaibhav course, when we were doing first canto, Muralidhar Prabhu is my evaluator, of essay evaluator. So, we were discussing Varnashrama Dharma, and I remembered something which I learned in my business school many years back, where the great consulting company McKinsey came out with a model which is called as the McKinsey 7S model of corporate governance, of strategy. So, the McKinsey 7S model, it says that for a company to be very successful, then at the core of the company is the first S of the 7Ss, which is called as shared values. Any company can operate in a unified manner, management by objectives. The mood of the management has to flow down to its employees for it to be a successfully managed organization. So for that, shared values has to be at the very root of everything else that happens in an organization. For example, an organization establish a strategy of management, an organization establish a structure for governance, a management adopts a particular style of management, management envisages the skills that are needed for successfully governing an organization. So there are all these S's which are mentioned, and but at the center of all the S is what? The S of shared values. And when we were doing that essay, I could vividly recollect that what I studied in my B school, that at the center has to be shared values. And that shared values, that same concept is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, McKinsey has not written Srimad Bhagavatam. They have derived that from the Arthashastras. All business management philosophy is ultimately derived from the Kautilya's Arthashastra. This is what our management professor told us. And he was a gold medalist from IIM Calcutta, so which is actually a very prestigious management institute in India. And this person was a gold medalist from that college, who was our strategy professor. He taught us that whatever management philosophy comes from the Vedas. At that time I brushed it off. I said, okay, he's saying that. But when I actually came to Krishna consciousness, I realized, my God, everything is coming from the Vedas. I'm so proud of the Vedas, I thought, from where everything else is emanating. So, if the shared values in society is attacked, then there is no value system. And then everything collapses like a pack of cards, like that. If the foundation of a building is weak, you may build marbles, you may put false ceiling, you may put plaster of Paris, you may put wallpaper, everything will come crumbling down if the foundation is not good. So Kali is attacking the root. In fact, a few years back, I think yourself and or Chandrasekhar Prabhu, one of you had sent a snippet from one Lord Macaulay, who was one of the viceroys from, or Governor General, I can't remember, Viceroy from England during the British rule of India. During the start of British rule. And I vividly remember what was written in that article. Lord Macaulay, his view was that, he says, I have come to this country. I have never seen such opulence anywhere else. There is a lot of natural opulence available in India. I have never seen such cohesiveness. I have never seen such bonding. I have never seen such piety and God consciousness. If the Britishers have to rule this particular country, then they have to hit at the very cultural fabric of this nation. They have to change the very faith of this nation. So let us come and bring our British goods. And let us come and bring our British views and philosophy into this country. Let us introduce the British way of thinking into this society, because once the thinking changes, once the people start thinking that everything that is imported or foreign, that is British, is good, and everything that is local is just past, then that will be the start of collapse of this great nation. So this is what Lord Macaulay scripted. So he knew very well where to hit India to create the maximum impact in society. So Kali Yuga very well knew. Kali Yuga is the master strategist, the perfect servant of Krishna. So the personification of Kali knew that if it attacks Varnashrama Dharma, everything will collapse. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, there is an interesting verse which says, Tathascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan Nangshati Ayubalam Smriti. Tathascha Anudinam Dharmam. With every passing day, Tathascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Daya. Dharmam means religiosity. Satyam, truthfulness. Shaucham, cleanliness. Daya, compassion. With every passing day, Tathascha Anudinam Dharmam Satyam Shaucham Shamadaya Kalena Balina Rajan. By the bull of Kal, by the force, by the power of the influence of sheer time, Kalena Balina Rajan, Nangshati Ayu Balam Smriti. What will be finished? The age, the duration of mankind will come low, will get lower and lower. Nangshati Ayur Balam, strength will reduce, and Smriti, remembrance, will go down. And we can see that technology is going up, newer and newer technology, they are bringing in life support systems, right? But the average age of a human being is not increasing because of life support system. It is actually going down. So technology is not resolving the issue. The Vedas are standing the test of time. Balam, strength is going down. And in one of the Science of Self-Realization CDs, most of you must have heard, my godbrother Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he is saying that in the Hyderabad Salarjan Museum, they have armors of people who are fighting. The Tipu Sultan's sword and everything, all his armor is there. Now, it takes two tagada men, strong men, to actually lift that armor. Today, in the museum, to lift that armor takes two strong, able-bodied men. And those times, people used to wear that armor. They used to take that sword, sit on a horse, and then they used to fight the battle. And when they used to cut the person also used to get cut, and the horse also used to get cut. Such was the power in the arms. And today, to lift that sword, two people are required. And sometimes you'll get spondylitis after, you know, lifting that sword. So, Ayu is going down, Valam is also going down. Smriti is going down. Remembrance. Which verse of Srimad Bhagavatam are we in? Don't look at the board. This is Kali Yuga memory. 5 minutes back. I also don't remember. Let me see. 31. Okay, this is Kali Yuga memory. Forget. We don't remember our own cell phone number. That day in office, I wanted to call my house and I forgot my cell phone number. Then, and I had to ask somebody else, what is my house number? Landline number. I always forget that. Because some form, you know, I had to fill up. Landline for home. And I forgot. So this is our own number we cannot remember. What to speak of others' numbers? Right? So this is Kali Yuga. This is the influence of Kali. Complete collapse and chaos. Nangshati Ayu Balam Smriti. So Kali Yuga is all about regression and degradation. It's not about progression. However, the good thing about Kali Yuga is the easiest available process of progression is available in the most degraded age. So there is this dichotomy, if you see, or there is this opportunity, if you like to see that it that way. Now, talking about dharma, Varanashrama dharma, I am reading one book called as Jaiva Dharma. I am reading it for the second time, thanks to again Muralidhar Prabhu. He gave me that book for the very first time to read, and that book, in fact, that was one of the basis for, you know, getting attracted to Mayapur. Anyone who reads Jaiva Dharma will fall in love with Mayapur Dham. It's a treatise by His Holiness Bhaktivinod Thakur Mahashay. So he has written this book, and the first chapter of this Jaiva Dharma book is all about one Premadas Paramahams Das Babaji, who is sitting and meditating on the banks of the Godruma in Mayapur. And one Sannyasi Thakur, actually the Sannyasi Thakur is a Mayavadi person, he comes and sees the effulgence of Premadas Paramahams Das Babaji. And seeing the effulgence, he falls at the feet. He is a Mayavadi. He sees this effulgence and he falls at the feet and says that I have been following Mayavad philosophy. I'm not having that happiness which I can verily see on your face. So please, Babaji, explain to me what is dharma. Please explain to me that if there is one dharma at the end of the day which is called as Sanatana Dharma, then why are there so many philosophies in society? Why is it not so simple that everyone is accepting this dharma and then becoming very happy? So, in response to that, Babaji tells him that at the end of the day, all of us are what is called as Vastu. Vastu means any living entity. Babaji explains to him that any Vastu has got a Swabhava. Any object or entity has got a natural characteristic based on its constitution, which he calls as ghatana. Any vastu has got its swabhava based on its ghatana, on its constitution. And he gives a beautiful example. He says that the vastu, if you take water, has got a specific characteristic. So every vastu has got a characteristic which is called as its innate dharma. So the dharma of water is what? The characteristic of water is what? To flow. The characteristic, the natural dharma of water is to flow. However, Babaji tells him that under an external set of circumstances which is artificially imposed, then water becomes ice. And therefore water is no longer in its original constitutional position. It loses its dharma and apparently adopts a different constitution for a temporary period of time. That time is still the time that the external influence is acting on it. And the moment the external influence is removed, then again the ice melts and water resumes its original dharma. So by this example,
Prema Das Paramahans Babaji is explaining to Sannyasi Thakur that this is how the soul is. There are three types of dharma. At the highest level, there is only one, Sanatana Dharma. But he breaks it down into three dharmas. He calls one as Anitya Dharma, he calls the other as Naimittika Dharma, and the third one he calls as Nitya Dharma. Anitya Dharma. Nitya is what? Eternal. Anitya is opposite of that. That which is temporary, which is transient, which is not eternal. So he explains to Sannyasi Thakur that most of mankind is not interested in the subject matter of God. Most, forget about God, most of mankind has lost even common mundane morality. They are living on the sub-moral platform. So people who follow that, they are said to be following Anitya Dharma. Nothing connected with dharma. People who are slightly higher than that are those people who are operating on the platform of piety. So while in the lower platform there is no acknowledgement of the Supreme, there is atheism, which is the predominant mood. One rung higher in the ladder are those people who are operating on the platform of Naimittika Dharma, which means they understand there is something which is above all of us, but they don't have much knowledge of that. So therefore, they are in their unnatural position, just like the water in ice. Go back to that example. They are in their unnatural position. And under the influence of the unnatural position, they think whatever is temporary to be the permanent dharma. The temporary dharma is state is called as Nisarga, and the permanent state is called Svabhava. So they think that Nisarga is actually Svabhava, and the dharma which comes out of that, which espouses mundane jnana, mundane karma, mundane yoga systems, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So all this comes under the category of Naimittika Dharma. So there is some religiosity, but then the activities are not in connection with the absolute truth. And then higher than Anitya Dharma and Naimittika Dharma is Nitya Dharma, which is non-different from Sanatana Dharma, and which is the title of that book, that is Jaiva Dharma. So he says that the Jiva, actually his only dharma is what? The Nitya Dharma. Jivena Swarupe Hoy Krishnera Das. Because the Jiva has become Bahir Mukhi, turned the face away from the Lord, therefore the Jiva has forgotten that Nitya Dharma which has been espoused in all the scriptures uniformly. And because the Jiva has turned away and supposedly considering the what is not real as real, that is the genesis of all Naimittika Dharma. Now that is the place of Varnashrama Dharma also. So therefore the rightful place of Varnashrama Dharma in society is to lift the people who are in Anitya Dharma to the platform of Naimittika Dharma, and from that platform then to re-establish one to the platform of Nitya Dharma or Sanatana Dharma. So that is the place of Varnashrama Dharma in today's society. So it's a very interesting way in which Babaji is explaining this in that section. Now, the purpose, as we said, most of mankind is in the platform of Anitya Dharma. So the Acharyas knew, in fact, Lord Krishna knew better, that in order to bring them to the platform of Godhead, first I have to bring them to the platform of humanity. From animalistic behavior, one has to come to at least human behavior. What to speak of love of Godhead. So therefore, Lord Krishna divided this society into Varnas and Ashramas. Four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and four Ashramas, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. And Lord clearly laid out the duties of each and every Varna as well as each and every person who is in his or her particular ashrama. But because of incorrect application of Varnashrama Dharma, man has misused Varnashrama Dharma. Rather than the pure unalloyed goal of Varnashrama Dharma to lift people, to unite people, the wrong interpretation and false application of Varnashrama Dharma has meant that instead of uniting people towards a goal, it has actually ended up dividing people. For example, the Brahmanas will say that the Shudras cannot enter the temple, or a Brahmana will say that the Shudras, if they come and touch me, then I have to take bath. So the Shudras felt very exploited by the Brahmanas. They received no love from the Brahminical order. The Brahminical order did not behave themselves. Now what has happened, because of that, over a period of time, the Shudras have started dominating, and the Shudras are saying that, now we will teach you all what is the suffering that you all did. So you all did apartheid with us, now we will do apartheid with you. And that has brought, and then the political system in India is also so chaotic that the politicians want to pander, because Kalau Shudra Sambhava, mostly everyone is Shudra, and votes are taken from the majority. So the government has put policies that people who are belonging to a particular caste, regardless of their merit, they will get admission into medical colleges, engineering colleges, just because they are from, they call themselves as from some particular caste. So it's a complete chaos. And because of that, now the Brahmanas are angry at the Shudras, saying that you guys don't have any merit, you are coming into engineering colleges and management colleges, whereas we have higher marks than you and we can't get admission. So all this has got nothing to do with the Varnashrama Dharma, which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. These are all man-made, just to meet selfish interests. The Brahmanas are also selfish, they have exploited, and now they are receiving their karma back from the Shudras. Neither are the Shudras right in their way of thinking. Right? So everything is chaotic in modern day society. Whereas the Lord established Varnashrama Dharma so that people can adopt a suitable Varna and a suitable Ashrama based on their propensities. Not based on their talent. Not based on their talent. For example, you know, somebody can say that I like reading. I have a penchant for reading. Therefore, Prabhu, I think I am a Brahmana. Somebody can say like that. You know, I like reading. So many novels I read. You know? I like reading. So, I have heard somewhere that Brahmana means reading and studying. So, I like studies and reading. So therefore, I am Brahmana. So, somebody can think like that. On the other hand, somebody can say, Prabhu, I can really manage. You give me 10 people, first class I will manipulate and manage everyone and get the job done for you. Okay? Typically our bosses think like that. And we become boss, we also think like that. Right? In corporate life. No? So then you think that, oh, Prabhu, looks like you have Kshatriya qualities. Management, manipulation. Very good, Prabhu, you are Kshatriya. Like that. Or somebody may say that I have made a lot of money. You give me 1 rupee, I will make it 10,000 rupees. $1 you give, I'll make $1 million. I know where to invest, which shares to invest in. You have to exit the stock market at the right time. You tell me, I'll advise you on real estate. Prabhu, you are Vaishya. You have Vaishya qualities, no? Like that. And somebody who may probably just be a loyal psychopant. You know what's a psychopant, right? A person who just says yes to the powers to be, so that he can continue living comfortably. By appeasing the powers, whether they are right or wrong, then you say, Prabhu, you are agreeing to everyone so nicely, Prabhu, you are Shudra. Perfect Shudra, you know. So this is the problem. So everything is distorted. We have a very distorted understanding of Varnashrama Dharma. But Lord Krishna has very clearly given the tenets. So it's not based upon our abilities, whether one becomes Brahmanas or not. It is based upon guna karma vibhagasha. Chatur varnam maya system guna karma vibhagasha. It is based on one's nature, one's character. And that character or nature will manifest in one's activities and dealings. So based on that, then there is a natural classification of people into these various varnas. And then based on that, ashramas are also recommended. For a person who has no desire or attraction for the opposite sex, then for a person, naturally it is recommended that you become brahmachari and stay as a brahmachari. Don't get into the entanglement of grihastha ashram. Okay? Don't get into mortgage paying. Okay? Be happy. Serve the Lord and go back to Godhead. No need to go to office on Monday morning for you. No office. For me, I have to go. Whether I like or not, what to do? Okay? So therefore, for a person who is naturally inclined, then such a person is encouraged to take the fast track back to Godhead. I am reading this book called as Servant of the Servant by His Holiness Tamalakrishna Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada, I am reading that conversation where Tamalakrishna Maharaj is taking that decision to become a brahmachari. So Prabhupada is advising Tamala. Tamala, he says, Grahastha means slow track, high risk. But Prabhupada is telling Tamala Krishna Maharaj because he understood that Prabhupada could see a Goswami. If I go in front of Prabhupada, Prabhupada will not advise. Jagannath Ram. No, he will say, go to Grahastha Ashram. People like you better. Safe ashram. Otherwise, the externals will be something and internal will be something else. No, sorry, reverse. Okay, so Prabhupada knew he could see Tamala Krishna Maharaj and he therefore Prabhupada advised him immediately. In fact, Prabhupada, when he saw Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, for the first time, Maharaj is entering and Prabhupada told him, have you taken sannyas? Here there is a queue for 14 years for first initiation and second initiation. But there, Prabhupada is directly giving sannyas. In fact, some of the god brothers objected, Prabhupada, you are offering direct sannyas. He said, you don't know who he is. So Prabhupada had the eyes to see through a person and to see who is this person. He could see a pure soul in Srila Gaur Govind Maharaj. So Prabhupada offered him sannyas. So therefore, these systems are based on guna, karma, vibhaga, shaka. And not based on any external impositions or management, managerial interpretations of what is the talent of some person and therefore what is the varna or ashram is. Now, in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, talking about Varnashrama Dharma, talking about Varna specifically, all the Varnas are mixed up in Kali Yuga. It's complete khichdi in Kali Yuga. But however, we can apply some vestiges of what was pristine Varnashrama Dharma. We can apply something for in Krishna consciousness again. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's mission amongst the seven purposes of ISKCON, the first mission is to cultivate first class brahmanas who can go and by their own personal example they will be brahmanas and who can then go out and save the whole world, which is going to dogs. So that was one of the missions of Srila Prabhupada, to create first class brahminical layer. Now, brahmanas per se, why are brahmanas brahmanas? What is that one quality of brahmanas which differentiate them from the other varnas? That quality is of the brahmanas to be self-inspired. Brahmanas don't need a true brahmana, not about a false brahmana. A true brahmana is one who does not need to derive his inspiration from other sources but for guru, sadhu and shastra. So a brahmana is self-inspired. He derives, his whole drive comes from spiritual master and the scriptures and Bhagavan and God, the absolute truth. So a true brahmana does not depend on other jivas for his spiritual as well as material sustenance. The dependence is only on Lord Krishna. And for them, for a real brahmana, it is very easy to depend on Lord Krishna. It is very easy. So therefore, the very occupation of a brahmana is the source of perfection for a brahmana. Because the very occupation has got a high level of dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a person like me, I am thinking that, okay, National Australia Bank is paying me. Okay, because of them, I am surviving. What will happen if the bank collapses? What will happen? Nothing will happen. Because NAB is not the maintainer of everyone. That is not written in the scriptures anywhere. Who is the maintainer? Goptritve Varanam Tatha. Lord Krishna is the supreme maintainer. But we sometimes, because of our conditioning, we don't understand that. Because whatever the invisible source is not seen. Lord Krishna says, Mattaha Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya Mahi Sarvam Idam Protam Sutre Manigana Iva. He says that I am the thread which ties the necklace together. People see the necklace, but people don't see the thread which sustains that necklace because it's invisible. So we can't see what is the source of our maintenance. The source of our income, we think, is the source of our maintenance. So for the brahmana, it's not too difficult because he is directly depending on the Lord. He can see that connection. So he is always independent. But the same independent nature of the brahmanas, when it is not in Krishna consciousness, creates the downfall of that brahmana. The nature is independent. But the nature, because the nature is independent and there is no Krishna consciousness, this is the contaminated brahmana, if you like. Nature is to be independent. But then there is no connection to the source and then there is chaos. For example, there was one Mughal emperor whose name invader called as Ibrahim Lodi. When this Ibrahim Lodi invaded India, when he came into India, he saw several camps with torches everywhere, you know, and he saw so many different camps are sitting around and eating prasadam. So he said, he asked his army, why so many camps? And his army men explained to him, actually this is for the low class brahmanas. There is brahmanas, within that there is low class, medium class brahmanas and high class brahmanas. This is for the kshatriyas, the low class, high class and medium class. This is for the that class, this class. So Ibrahim Lodi started smiling. He said, very beautiful. It's so easy to break this country. I can now invade. Very easy. So where there is independent thinking, independence, but not under the banner of Krishna consciousness, it can create chaos. In fact, even big mathas have fallen down because of that. Even in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are mathas which have fallen down simply because if you take each and every Brahman in the system, then they were all very pure in themselves, but collectively they could not reconcile with each other. So that was not enough to keep them together. So this is the problem in Kali Yuga, the breakdown of the Brahminical layer, because they are slowly, the Brahmins are drifting away from Krishna consciousness. That is the shared value which binds all of them together. Now Shudras, on the other hand, what is Shudra's quality? Brahmana's quality is non-dependence. What is Shudra's quality? Only dependence. Shudra's quality is only to depend on others. But in Kali Yuga, what has happened? Shudras have become independent. Shudras are occupying the top places, which are supposed to be occupied by Brahmanas. So this is the problem in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada used to say that modern day education has given too much independence to the Shudras, to the fourth class. So in terms of degradation, it is not only today that only the Brahmanas are degraded. Everybody is degraded today. All four Varnas are degraded. Because the essential culture of giving and serving, that has been destroyed. When the essential shared value of service is gone, then everything is gone. In fact, in one class which my godbrother was giving, Govind Prabhu, he was mentioning that nowadays, in the earlier days, opulence was very high. There was a lot of natural opulence. And sense objects were less. And today what has happened? The opulence is less. From gold plates we have come to silver, from silver to stainless steel, from stainless steel to ceramic, and from now to plastic we have come to. And that too not hard plastic. Now we have come to the plastic where which can be folded and put inside. You know? That kind of level we have come to. Right? So, actually the opulence is much less, but the objects for sense enjoyment are more and more today. So therefore we can see a very market shift in the way our environment is today. In the earlier days, Varnashrama Dharma was strictly followed. For example, a Brahman means a Brahman means a Brahman. He will stand for the values even if it is his life at stake. From the Mahabharata, Govind Prabhu was quoting from the Mahabharata, one nice pastime. There were two people, two personalities involved, called as Shankhu and Likhit. Anyone heard of this pastime? Shankhu and Likhit pastime. So, they were two brothers. Both of them were pretty self-realized. Now, Shankhu, one day, and they were both living in separate houses. Shankhu, one day, went for some duties outside, and Likhit came to his house. Now Shankhu used to maintain a beautiful garden where there were a lot of flowers and fruits. So Likhit came to his house and he started eating the fruits from Shankhu's garden. Now when Shankhu came back, he saw that Likhit has eaten the fruits without taking permission. Now it might seem very far out for us. This is my brother's house. Now what permission you want to take? Of course, again, this is again in Indian culture something is there. In Western culture, you know, your brother, I am brother, your father, I am this thing, separate entities, individual existence, after 18, 19, go out, you know. This is not Vedic culture. Of course, in India also Vedic culture is not there. That is a different thing. So, in the Western thinking, it may not be very far out, but in the Indian thinking, it is far out because we are used to joint families. You know. What to speak of joint families? In fact, I used to live in a building where we can go to our neighbor's house and go to the kitchen and pick up the bhajiya and eat, and the neighbor will not think. It's not etiquette. No, they will not say like that. Because it's natural to live that way. It's very natural to just go and they'll come and ask, oh, what's cooking in your house? Okay, come. They will also come and eat from the kitchen. No? So, these are actually some traces of Vedic culture which prevailed, which is still something is left in India, like that. So, when there is love, there need not be etiquette. That's what Raganuga Bhakti is all about, right? Where there is natural, spontaneous love, you don't have to follow the rules and regulations. So, love transcends etiquette. Anyway, that is not the point that I was going to say. So, Shanku and Likhit. So, Likhit came and ate the fruits. So, Shanku came back and Shanku said, how can you eat? Now, they are coming from a Dharma Shastra perspective. So, he say that you are a Brahmana. You have committed I think there is something wrong. You have to go to the king and consult him now. You have taken without permission. So therefore there is something wrong that you have done. You should have taken permission from me. And therefore you go to the king right now and let the king decide. So to cut a long story short, Likhit goes to the king. So king asks, what happened? He says, I ate fruits from my brother's garden. So king is also thinking, what's the great deal about that? You have come to me for that. So king says, so what? So he says, no, please give me some punishment. So king says, no, how can I punish you? You are such an elevated Brahmana, I can't punish you like that. So he says, no, you have to punish me. He says, no, I can't punish you because there is nothing great that you have done. No, you have to punish me. No, I cannot punish you. No, you have to punish me. And this goes on for some time. Finally, king says, okay, I'll punish you. Because I want to serve you in some way. So you want punishment, I'll give you punishment. Okay? For your pleasure and as a service, I will give you punishment. He calls his men and tells them, cut off both his hands of Likhit, those hands which are stolen. Today in Singapore, this is still prevalent in Singapore. If you steal something, your hand is cut. So he says, cut off both his hands. So they come and sever both his hands. It's actually, when I was hearing this, it was pretty gross. I was thinking, my God, for such a small thing, and we do so many things. We take pads from office, pens from office. Uttavairagya, he said. Applying in Krishna consciousness only, no? Anyway. So for such a thing, then what happens? He loses both his hands. And then Likhit goes and then he comes to Shanku. And Shanku says, very good. And he says, Now you go, Shanku tells Likhit, now you go to the banks of the river and start performing your tarpan and your regular services. And Likhit is wondering, for doing tarpan, I need hands, no? How can I do that? Anyway, he is obeying his brother and he goes. He goes with a pure heart to do tarpan. He goes into the river, he takes his bath, and when he comes out, his two hands come back. This is from the Mahabharata. And then he comes back to his brother. He asks him, hang on, what is all this you have done with me? So Shanku reveals to him that it is because of my power that I have restored your two hands. He said, then why did you cut my hands in the first place if you wanted to restore it? So he says, that is because I am a Brahmana. As a Brahmana, I can only guide you to management. But I am not management. I will not pass a decision on your activity. But if I see something, some anomaly in your behavior, I will take you to the Kshatriya. Because a Brahman's job is only to advise. Brahmanas do not judge. A Brahmana's job is only to inspire someone to work in the right direction. It is the job of a Kshatriya to both inspire as well as perform management. That is not a Brahmana job to get into management. Right? So he said, whether the activity of punishing or not punishing is the thinking of a Kshatriya. A Brahmana has got nothing to do with punishment, reward, etc. That is a part of judgment. That is not me. My only job is to guide you to a place whereby I can inspire you such that your activities will always be correct. So this is a very profound pastime. And now when you see the lifetime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, so many people, there was chaos in Navadvip. People were not interested. But Mahaprabhu did not waste his time with people who were not interested. Srila Prabhupada also, if you see, of course he left it to Lord Nityananda. So he still took care of those people as in his, you know, in the form of Lord Nityananda. But from a dharmic shastric point of view, from a Leela point of view, it's different. From a shastric point of view, actually he did, you know, the Lord will not interfere with the free will of individuals. And when you come to Srila Prabhupada's charitra itself, when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, in the Leelamrita it is mentioned that some people suddenly started becoming very inimical to Srila Prabhupada. You know? For example, they used to open Srila Prabhupada's letters and read before it reached him or before it left, you know, after Srila Prabhupada gave it. Then they used to, they didn't allow Prabhupada to come to the Rath cart. They disallowed Prabhupada from sitting on the Rath cart. They put his poster upside down. You know, there are so many things that, you know, some sections of people did. So Prabhupada saw that there is no point, you know, and he just left. Rather than correcting them, Prabhupada said, no, they are beyond resurrection. Let me just leave them alone. Sometimes we see that from a Brahminical hat, you can't really go too much into people who really are inimical towards you. But if Srila Prabhupada saw a spark, then Srila Prabhupada is to fan. Even if that person was on LSD, but the person had a spark, genuinely wanted to come, the encouragement was definitely there like that. So, how does a Brahmana deal with others? That's very important. A real Brahmana. A Brahmana deals with another Brahmana. A Brahmana deals with another Kshatriya. A Brahmana deals with another Vaishya. And a Brahmana deals with a Shudra. So it is mentioned that a Brahmana facilitates another Brahmana. Only the word facilitates. He only facilitates. Because he recognizes the independent thinking of another Brahmana. Brahmanas are independent thinkers by nature. So a Brahmana realizes that this person is also having an independent thought. So I will only facilitate him and allow him to develop on his own. So the dealings of one Brahmana with another Brahmana, what is the mood? One of facilitation. With a Kshatriya, the Brahmana inspires the Kshatriya. Because when a Kshatriya is inspired, he can do great things. All the motivation slogans, no? Amara Hindustan, Amar Rahe, and you know, we are used to a lot of slogans, right? They are just to inspire the Kshatriyas to go to the battlefield and fight. Jai Bharat, Jai Jawan, Jai Kisan. So many things we have seen, you know, as Indians. And even in Australia, I don't know the Australian poem, but what is the poem for motivating the soldiers to fight? There is something must be there, right? Anyone knows? Aussie, yeah. So you are, yeah, there is a motivational prayer to go and fight for your country. So if a Kshatriya is inspired, he can do great things for the country. Or he can do great things in general. So a Brahmana facilitates another Brahmana. A Brahmana inspires a Kshatriya. And not only that, when the Kshatriya actually does it, when he does that particular activity, a Brahmana makes the Kshatriya feel that you have taken the decision and you are glorious, you have done it. That's the quality of a Brahmana. Then the interaction of a Brahmana with a Vaishya. With a Vaishya, the Brahmana directs him and advises him with a slightly greater command than what he has exercised with the Kshatriya. Directing and advising. And with the Shudra, directly ordering and instructing him to do. Not allowing his independent thinking. A real Shudra. Not a false Shudra. Shudra is also an elevated position. Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, people are not even Shudras. We have fallen down three levels below that. Malechas, Yavanas, Chandalas, so many are there. No? Like that. So with a Shudra, Shudra has the capability. A real Shudra means one who can take instructions. Like that. Because the Brahmana can order the Shudra, because a real Brahmana is not dependent on the Shudra. We cannot order someone on whom we are dependent. Because Brahmanas are independent, they depend only on the Lord. They have the power to deal with the Shudra the way in which is good for the Shudra. Today, it's all about you scratch my back, I will scratch your back. Okay. You take care of me, I will take care of you. Dear Shudra, I will come. If you have a wedding in your house, you just ensure that you are paying me nicely on an hourly basis. No? If you want slow yagya, I will do slow yagya, 5 hours. If you want fast yagya, half an hour, finish everything. You know, because the CEO is coming for my son's reception, no, we have all to put suit and tie. Let's not waste time in dhoti kurta. Then I can do that yagya also for you. So the Brahmana is scratching the back of the other sections who is paying him money. And then the Shudra is also scratching the Brahmana's back. So that the Shudra can get prestige in society. Oh, what a religious family they are. They invited so nicely, they are doing pious activities. No? So there is a prestige involved on one side, and then there is pecuniary motives on the other hand. So this is what is going on. Therefore, the whole system is colored. So, in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, this gradual degradation of the Brahminical layer and impact that it has had, the adverse impact it has had on society, is described. But at the end of the day, what is the goal of Varnashrama Dharma? Ata Pumbir Dvijashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashaha Sva Anushchistasya Dharmasya Samasiddhir Harikoshanam. At the end of the day, the whole goal of Varnashrama Dharma, the whole goal, the purpose of structuring the society and dividing into Varnashrama Ashramas is to gradually elevate the society from all this anitya behavior that we are seeing in society to the platform of Naimittika Dharma and then to the platform of Nitya or Sanatana Dharma, where people can get rid of their false propensity, of their bad habits, and gradually elevate them by an understanding of the goal of life, by developing Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana Jnana, so that they are then gradually situated on the path back home, back to Godhead. So that is the original purpose. And in this section, that mood is very nicely brought out by Mother Earth in its conversation with the personification of Dharma. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are questions, comments, corrections. Yes. Sakama Karma onwards. Is that clear, everyone? No. Is it clear, or you want me to explain? Clear? Okay. Everyone has understood, no question. Any other questions?
So the totally breaking of karma is the root cause for all these things.
Correct.
The root is dominating.
So it is mentioned that the root cause of the breakdown is the breakdown of Varnashrama Dharma. But again, if you go one level below that, it is mentioned that it is ignorance. It is lack of Sambandha Gyan. Ignorance leads to all other problems. Bijam, Kutam, Papam, leading to Aprarabdham, Prarabdham. So at the very root is Avidya. Once that Avidya goes, that Avidya should go, will go if Brahmanas become spiritual teachers. There has to be personal application and then there has to be preaching application. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.